Thank you, Steve. It's good to be back. It's a crazy week in college football. I'll tell you what, it's your game is the, I believe, is the only ranked versus ranked game.
It is.
And yet, elsewhere in your conference, there's so much going on that it's an interesting week nonetheless.
We know what the Big Ten said back on July the 9th when they decided not to have non-conference games. They didn't announce the schedule then, but said back on July 9th. So what's your take on the Nebraska situation in the attempt to schedule Tennessee Chattanooga?
Well, I can't say that I'm surprised by it after what Nebraska had done over the summer. You know, it seems like just a desperation move. And I'm trying to put myself in their shoes and figure out what you have to gain from it. I guess for Scott Frost, it's just more reps for guys because, you know, in theory, the game would be put together so quickly that you wouldn't have time to game plan at all. You know, you're just going out there and playing an opponent that you don't really know a whole lot about. And, you know, just you're going to go out there and assume that you'll win on talent. But it is an opportunity to work on some things. I mean, I guess that's the rationale for doing it. It's not like you're going to make money off the game, given the situation with attendance, you know, ticket sales and all that. So I don't know. I don't know why it was such a big deal to throw it together, but obviously they've been quite frustrated for the last several months now with you know, the limitations that the Big Ten has placed upon them as far as scheduling games.
Yeah, because, Brad, it certainly seems like, and it doesn't mean it's a reality, but it certainly seems from the outside looking in, they've been in constant conflict with the Big Ten about how to go about business.
My reaction, I mean, when I saw that story, and then, of course, it turns out to, have been shot down by the Big Ten, is that, man, if Nebraska had another viable option for a conference to join, you know, that where the money would be similar, my impression is they would do it tomorrow. they're at odds with the Big Ten right now. But what's obvious is that there is no other conference they could join that would give them close to the same amount of money. And given how much things have changed in college football in just a few years, I'm not sure that the market for Nebraska would be what it was.
Agreed.
You know, like would Nebraska be incredibly attractive to another conference right now? I don't think so.
Only on the attendance side of it. The attendance side of it, yes. Market-wise, knowing you and I know that markets drive a lot in all of this. What would you react? Now, the Big Ten has no room to operate here. So you've had some rescheduled games in the ACC, some rescheduled games in the SEC, but there can't be any with this schedule in the Big Ten. What was your reaction when you saw the situation at Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, it wasn't surprising. I mean, from the time that it started to leak out that Mertz had a positive test, there's always a good chance that there's more than one. And then once that started to become evident that there was more than one, then you figure, okay, with the Big Ten's rules, you know, the 5%, 7.5%, or whatever the numbers are exactly. Like, that's not a lot of margin for error there.
No.
I mean, there have been, throughout this season and the other conferences, many instances, I mean, many of teams going out and playing with numbers above the Big Ten threshold, and a lot of them winning with a depleted roster. They just went out and won anyway. And the Big Ten will not allow its teams to do that. And so, it was interesting that Wisconsin is the team. Well, you know, I was going to say it was interesting. I guess it's not. I was going to say it's interesting that Wisconsin basically pulled the trigger on it without it quite getting to the level where the Big Ten would have made it automatic.
Right.
But when you consider they were down to their fourth quarterback, you're looking at a really good chance you're going to lose. So why would you voluntarily go out and play if you had the option of calling it off, you know, without a forfeit? So I guess it does make perfect sense.
Right. I talked with Todd Blackledge yesterday. I know he's got the Alabama game this week. And I asked Todd, I said, the games you've watched so far, usually early in the season, you know, and we're obviously up to week 9 now, but early in the season, defenses can be ahead of offenses. I said, why do you think we've seen so many points so far? So I'll pose that to you. Why do you think we've seen so many points so far in this unusual season?
You know, what's interesting about that is that, to me, it's an SEC phenomenon. Okay. I don't really see it anywhere else. I mean, I know the score of your game last weekend ended up, you know, 36-35.
Yeah, but...
But what was it with 3 minutes to go?
21-20, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, or was it? Was it that high? Yeah,
yeah, it was 21-20 because Penn State had to go in front on the touchdown pass to Dotson.
Yeah, and so, yeah, obviously the whole thing with the unintentional touchdown at the end, giving Indiana another possession, and then the overtime, and yeah, I mean, ended up, you know, it was not as high scoring of a game as it appeared on the scoreboard. Or I should say it wasn't as offensive of a game as it appeared on the scoreboard at the end.
Right.
And the Big 12 last Saturday, all 10 teams played. We have to remind ourselves there are 10 teams in the Big 12. All 10 teams played. Only one of them hit 35 points.
Oh, interesting.
And,
okay.
And that was Kansas State against Kansas. Oh. I mean, against the arguably the worst Power 5 team out there.
Yeah.
So scoring is down in the Big 12. I mean, this is not what we're used to seeing out of them. And SEC is the one place it's up, and I think it's because the style of offense that had really caught on a lot of other places in the country has finally caught on in the conference that really is stacked at the receiver position, yeah. You know, and they got so much talent at wideout, and a lot of them have a quarterback now that can operate these offenses, and you've got coordinators who are calling the game aggressively on top of having a good scheme. You know, LSU last year, I figured that was going to revolutionize the conference because they went from mediocre to outstanding just in the blink of an eye, right, offensively. And part of it was, you know, that Joe Burrow and his receivers were that good, but they were out there the year before and you didn't see that. And I think one of the big adjustments they made was they got the fullback the heck off the field. Right. And they put an extra receiver out there, and what do you know? You're more dangerous with a wide out than you are with a fullback.
Yep.
And I think that's just where we are with football today. And if you have an elite quarterback and he has good talent to throw to, it's just so difficult for defenses. And we're seeing that over and over and over. And I really think that's why, and I don't know if and you're about to see it firsthand on Saturday night, and I'm not trying to, you know, get your listeners depressed. And look, they have played Ohio State really well the last 4 years, and so I'm not suggesting by any stretch they have no chance here. But when I look at Ohio State and Alabama and Clemson, the level at which those schools have been recruiting for a long time.
Yeah.
And for them to, on top of that, now have the best quarterbacks, it really is unfair. And that's why, to me, unlike any conference, unlike any season I can remember since I've been alive, it feels like those teams are untouchable, except by each other, you know?
Yeah.
I wish you the best on Saturday night, but I think that they're going to have to play as well as they can possibly play in a lot of areas to hang in there, because when you got that quarterback and those receivers out there, it's just really, really tough for anybody to slow down.
And I watched a lot of video, you know, because I have to get ready for my broadcast on Saturday night. I watched a lot of video of Ohio State this week from their Nebraska game because you want to see what they have currently. And he's throwing into wide open windows in that game. And he threw the ball beautifully. But you know what? Here's what they don't have. Right? And I say this with all due respect. Mac Jones has Najee Harris. Trevor Lawrence has Travis Etienne. They don't have that in that backfield.
They don't.
They have good backs. They have good backs in Master Teague and Trey Sermon, but not great ones. That's how I looked at it, Brad.
Well, there is a noticeable drop-off from Dobbins the last few years to what I saw last Saturday.
Dobbins, big-time player.
And to be honest, the only area of their team that I was really impressed with was the quarterback and the receivers.
Yeah.
I thought Nebraska held its own on the lines of scrimmage.
I agree.
And look, if there's one thing that Penn State, you know, having watched what they did on Saturday and watched what Ohio State did, one thing that they can feel confident in, I don't know if it's a false sense of confidence, but based on what we saw, there's no reason to think that they won't be capable of getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback.
Right.
because Nebraska was able to do it. And that, to me, appears to be the strength of Penn State's team, is the ability to pressure the quarterback. So the problem with Justin Fields, though, as you know, you can't just put pressure on him. You've got to get him to the ground.
Yeah.
Because if you just simply put pressure on him and flush him out of the pocket, you're just going to allow them to make a big play in another way. I mean, just look at what happened with Penix, with the two-point conversions.
Right.
I mean, they got pressure on him. But if you don't wrap him up and make the play, he's going to end up making something. And of course, Justin Fields is better. So that's the challenge, is you got to get there in the backfield and you got to bring him to the ground. And if you can do that, then, you know, maybe they can limit them offensively the way they did last year. Only team that held them under 30 last year. So I can't say that they have no shot, but man, you got to do everything right. You can't go out there and give them anything, that's for sure.
Yeah, you got to have to check a lot of boxes to do it. But I'll say this, though, Brad, and one last part of this. I think a lot of teams play Ohio State and they hope they can hang with them or hope they can win. Penn State at least knows they can win against them. I mean, they have players on this team that played in those games. I mean, and so that's a big difference between hoping and knowing. And we'll see if it pays off. We'll find out Saturday night.
Yeah, and I think that's a difference between, you know, say pretty much any team Clemson plays in the ACC.
That's right.
Because those guys, I mean, the exception like North Carolina last year, I mean, those guys have just been blown out by this team year after year after year.
That's right.
And it's what we used to refer to as a helmet game, where, you know, they see the helmet and they automatically freeze
that's
up,
right,
because they know bad things are going to happen.
That's a great one. I like that one. Brad, always a pleasure. Great talking football with you anytime. You're just one of the best.
Well, thank you, Steve. I look forward to watching this game on Saturday night, and I appreciate you having me on.